You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As with all our shows, we start off with how the markets have been performing throughout the day. It's another sea of red, and here to blame me for that and other market movements is Skulk Lowe, wealth manager at PSG Old Oak. Good evening, Skulk. I don't know if I'm happy to speak to you, but hi.
Jimmy. I can't keep on blaming you, man. Come on.
It's not my fault. The oil price at $87 today has nothing to do with me.
No. Nothing to do with you. Jimmy, I think we've got an interesting show for tonight. And I don't want to sort of jump the gun on Neville because I know you're going to ask him. But we had a great day, and excuse the pun. We had a great day in the sense that we had two companies reporting info and results. You know, one was Remgro and the other one was Brait. Both of them holding companies, and both of them companies, holding companies, South African ink companies. And I sat and looked at both of these, you know, announcements, and I couldn't help but thinking, man, the JSE or the South African market is in trouble. I mean, there's just no doubt in my mind. We had Remgro, you know, starting off first, and you know, to the listeners out there, why I'm saying this, let's first start with the start of the terminology, you know, holding company, because I know people, I know we've got intelligent listeners, but sometimes people don't know what I'm talking about. You know, a holding company is a company that's listed on the JSE and it holds certain other companies. In a lot of cases, like both in Brait and also in Remgro's circumstances, it's listed companies. Now, Remgro, when we looked at the year-end results, which ended in June last year, things sort of looked all right. I mean, we had the intrinsic net asset value trading at around about 248 Rand a share price was trading at 147. I still recall going on some of these media outlets saying, well, a 41% discount to its net asset value. It sounds steep. I mean, we need to go and look at this. When we look at the past 24 years, Remgro has been trading more or less at a, let's call it a 22% discount to its net asset value. So that close to 41% was sounding excessive, and it was looking like an opportunity. And today, it actually released its 6-month interim results, and they had quite a few write-downs. I mean, Heineken, I mean, that's the old Distell investment they had. They had that in the books at an intrinsic value to about, let's call it 12.4 billion Rand last year, June. That had a write-off, a massive write-off, 6.7 billion. So things are not looking good in the Distell style. And then we look through and we can see, you know, First Rand really you know, came off quite a bit. Luckily, I think Discovery remained fairly resilient. But in general, the net asset value declined quite a bit. But today, after the news was released, and again, why am I saying it's representative? Everybody knows MediClinic. I know MediClinic is not only in South African company or hospital group anymore, but all the listeners know MediClinic. All the listeners know, you know, some Distell product. The listeners know Rainbow Chickens. They know Discovery. They know First Rand Outsurance, which was actually one of the star performers in the portfolio. It's a representative company for South Africa. I call this actually the best SA Inc. representative company. And when you see this type of decline, and after the news came out, a further, you know, drop in the share price, close to 5%, you know, end the day 4.64% down. Today, that share price is trading at a discount to its net asset value of 45%. I mean, that's massive. That's some of the largest discounts. Some can argue it's a great opportunity. I've heard the phrases, you know, a value opportunity or a value trap. I think listeners out there can decide for themselves. I still like Remgro. I think it's a great company. But that said, I can understand where some of the investors, you know, feel a bit despondent. And then, yeah, I don't know if you want to jump in here, Jimmy, but I'd like to touch on Brait as well. That's a funny one. Really, really funny deal that they did there.
I think I happen to agree with you, Skulk, around the Remgro being a good option. I mean, I've always been a fan of something that's as diversified as they are, but I take your point around how that diversification then means that because you're in all the different sectors, or you're playing in a lot of the sectors in South Africa, you are a general representation of the state of SA Inc. And I can see why you then say that this is a good case study to look at as a company from that perspective. I mean, we've seen in the past that they haven't been shy to diversify their portfolio, but on the discount as well, they haven't been shy to say that unbundling is not something they're going to rush into. And I guess that's kind of how shareholders and investors are seeing the value unlock, is how you narrow the discount by unbundling. But at the same time, that was never Remgro's aim or ambition from the onset. So one wonders whether or not they'll start to consider it at this point. But let's look at Brait, because while Remgro was down 4.6%, Brait was up 4.4%.
Very interesting deal that they did there. I think the announcement came through today. It was a sales announcement that they sold 15 million. Now, I just want to pause there for a second, because we saw Brait having a separate listing for their Premier Food holding, listed the company. And funny enough, they listed the company at 60 Rand. And that was done about a year ago. They listed the company at 60 Rand. Today, the announcement came out through that they sold 15 million, bringing their holding down to, I think, about 35%. So they still own majority stock in the company. But they sold 15 million. And they mentioned two things. The proceeds of this was 900 million rand, which I think Brait would welcome. Brait shareholders would welcome. I question the share price, because they mentioned in the media that they actually increased the size of the placing, which after they increased the size, which remained in vertigo, significantly oversubscribed. Now, when something is significantly oversubscribed, I would tend to think that a company should, in theory, get closer to at least the current share price. Now the share price closed at 69 Rand last night. So you would think it should closer to the current share price, or even at a premium, because remember, it's significantly oversubscribed. Yet they sold it at a 6.7% discount to the 30-day volume weighted, again at 60 Rand a share. For the listeners out there, why I use this as another case study for South African in company is the Premier Food. I love the company. I think it's a very, very well-managed food producer. Well-known brands. I mean, Blue Ribbon Bread, Wiza Maize, Snowflake Flour. Very, very South African. Very, typical South African. I like the fact that they're unlocking value for shareholders, like you just mentioned. If you're running at very, very deep discounts, somewhere along the line, you need to unlock that, either give the shares back to the shareholders or start selling some of these investors and unlocking in that way. I'm just interested about the share price, how they got to that 60 Rand.
I remember speaking to Premier's CEO, Kobus Gertenbach, around the company's first set of numbers and first set of reportables just after listing, and things were looking so good there. And I mean, I just have a look now, and the share price is down 10% at 62 Rand, and I guess that's probably the market then responding with to the announcement to say, okay, well, 10.6% down on today's trade is how we're seeing that announcement and how we are reading that price, that discount coming through. So that's obviously not a good place to be, and they were one of the biggest losers on today's trade. And alongside that, we saw the likes of Transaction Capital as well, which yesterday we got that We Buy Cars update from them. It looked good from that update's perspective in terms of the sends, but today they were down 7% there as well. Obviously, now being below 10 Rand a share, it doesn't take much for those movements to count quite significantly, but nonetheless, it seems as though the market is still settling and digesting what's been said there. Skulk, let's look at Thungela for a second, because I spoke to them yesterday around their numbers, full year numbers, and the coal markets have been struggling. I spoke to Exxaro last week, and obviously both companies sharing those sentiments around the logistics and the problems that they've got there. But today, Thungela is up almost 7%.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few of these let's call it commodity companies that's been having a bit of a recovery. We've seen the PGMs as well. I mean, a massive struggle for these companies over the past year. And as you mentioned, I mean, for the right reasons, quite a decline in the underlying platinum, palladium, rhodium prices. I actually thought it was an interesting movement in 2023, these drop off in the underlying prices, seeing that these underlying commodities were still running in deficit. So clearly, I mean, I don't know who's usually, prices come down when there's more sellers than buyers, but if underlying commodities are running at deficits, I find it interesting, why the underlying commodities came down. But be that as it may, quite a nice recovery. And coal, same reason. Coal also looking a little bit better. I mean, prices in February was around about, I can recall, $115, $116 per ton. And I see recently it's moved over that, let's call it $130 per ton again. So just maybe something to monitor. It's good for the Thungelas. It's good for the PGM miners. It's good for the Sasols. But remember, these are all inflationary. We need inflation to come down so we can see interest rates start to retrace. If we've got these type of commodities moving upward, we are going to hear from the Fed very, very soon. Interesting. Just I'm going to end off by saying, remember, we had this conversation, Jimmy, you and myself had the conversation on the bettings or the probabilities, CME probabilities of the Fed, dropping rates in May. We know that's gone now. June is now dropped down to pretty much, 54%, chance that they're gonna decrease rates. So that is now getting to a 50-50 scenario. And even July is also now sitting at 75%. Most recently, it was still at 93% probability that the Fed will start, dropping the rates. So something to watch. I think this is going to get really interesting.
I couldn't agree with you more, Skulk. I think the further out we start to look, the more those probabilities are going to go up, because we had initially said we're going to do 6 rate cuts throughout the year, and we had started in March, but here we are in March, nothing's happened, we've gone from 6 down to 3, and I guess the further out we move into the year, those 3 are going to get squashed towards the end of the year, so the probability of like a November rating or a November cut, for example, is highly probable, considering the market has to see 3 rate cuts this year according to their expectations. But something else you mentioned that's quite important is it's something that the market wants to see, but it might not necessarily be something that the Fed wants to see. And I guess we'll find out tomorrow evening when we get that interpretation from Fed Chair Jay Powell and his team around where we go from here and how we unpack those rates. But for now, Skulk, we'll leave it at that. I know you and I will catch up as soon as those rates decisions do come out, and we'll reflect on that as well. Thanks so much for the time, as always, Skulk. That's Skulk Lowe, wealth manager at PSG Old Oak, joining me to reflect on some market movements throughout the day, as well as some Fed expectations for tomorrow evening.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.